life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. Well, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, know that he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day God on the mountain is still God in the valley.
Hallelujah.
When things go wrong,
you gotta shout with that. Come on.
You know that he'll make them
raise them high.
And the God of the good times
is still God.
Is still God in the bad times.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God of the day.
Still God in the night.
He's still God in the,
you know, I hate to leave that song. I'll go back to that, I promise you, before this program, or when this program is over. Because he's a God on the night or the day. He's a God on the mountain. Woo! I don't know about you, but I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, we got a great program today. We got a great program today. I really want to reach a multitude of people. We're going to talk about breaking the yokes in your life, breaking strongholds in your life. All the things like habits that can be a stronghold. I remember dealing with getting rid of tobacco when a person would be converted and come to Christ. And they'd have a battle getting rid of tobacco. The many things that can give you one fit. And only God is the real answer in all of those situations, I'm telling you. And so we've got something overwhelming to talk about today. I doubt there's a person out there that don't at some moment feel a stronghold that they just don't know how to overcome. How about your children who are lost and out there living in the world and they're so caught up in strongholds that they don't listen to nothing you tell them? Nothing you tell them. They're just in a stronghold. They're under the powers. You have the responsibility before God in prayer and intercession, fasting, to break those strongholds and to pull them down, not just your life, but the life of your children, the life of your friends, the life of your members, pastors. Pastors, listen to me. You don't have a right to call yourself a pastor if you don't keep up with your good flock and you don't watch out for somebody in a stronghold and you don't go after God for the help of that individual. At times, the church will lose somebody because of a stronghold. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Forgive them and pull down that stronghold. They'll come home. They'll come home if they really help them and minister to them. Oh, how important this is. I couldn't bring you a program that's more spectacular and necessary in this day. Now, share it with everybody you can. I've got nearly 5,000 friends, nearly 5,000. And I'm disgusted when only a handful of you share these broadcasts and share those things I say. They're important. I don't put nothing on here that I don't deem very important. How about what I put on yesterday about the altar in the church being on fire with Holy Ghost praying and Holy Ghost ministering so that God can send His Shekinah? I'm looking for that great manifestation of God's Shekinah glory. And I know it's coming. I don't have any doubt about it. I just, you know, when the church has been in such a disaster form, and there's been so many things we've gone after beside God, and I'm praying for God to bring us back to the things that are important, especially the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Now, I'm not going to say I'm there yet. That last little statement about being sanctified, crucified of the world. But I'm telling you, I'm on my face with God for Him to deal with me and to contend with me until He gets me in that perfect rest that Paul talks about in the book of Hebrews. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, one of the most marvelous passages about prayer and the power of prayer. And it deals especially with strongholds. Now listen to every word. Get your Bible if you want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not just flesh, hands and feet and mouth and all. Not just flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Through God, mighty, notice that word mighty, through God, notice those two words, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I mean, they have no right to possess you. You do not have to live under these strongholds. You do not have to let your kids go to hell because they're bound with strongholds. You have the right to go to God and pull down strongholds. Now, it'll take some old-fashioned praying. It won't be now I lay me down to sleep. You know, the old kiddie prayer that we prayed as children. It'll be intercession that falls on your knees, gets in God's altar, and stays there. It takes hours of praying to pull down strongholds. Now, you hear that. It takes hours of praying to pull down strongholds. You've got to be more determined than the devil. You got to be more determined than all those evil spirits that are binding people and destroying them. You got to be more determined than your enemies that would destroy you and effect strongholds in your life. Spirits of the devil that would put strongholds. You got to be more dedicated than they are. You got to be more committed than they are. If you don't become more committed than the devil in hell and all his demons, what chance have you got? You've got to become more committed. God's already paid the price. Jesus has already been crucified. The battle's already won. The battle is already won. But you have got to prevail yourself in that battle, with that battle, with that divine authority that God has given His church. And you've got to get in there and pray through and stay on your knees. It'll take some hours. It'll take some days. It'll take fasting. It'll take giving your up some meals and putting aside some pleasures. It'll take giving yourself to God. That's what it's going to take. Are you willing? Had you rather be bound with strongholds? Had you rather see the devil take your kids to hell with strongholds? Had you rather see some friend you've got under some stronghold of some power and to see them destroy it? Or are you willing to give yourself? Notice now, strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now that is big. It's up here that the devil puts this junk in people's mind and brings them in captivity. It's junk, it's imaginations, it's things, it's dark teachings, it's dark theology. It's dark ideas. It's fearful things that the devil brings against you. We'll talk about that in a minute. The wiles of the devil, W-I-L-E-S, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Notice that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God in you is under assault. The knowledge of God in you is under assault. The devil is determined to rob you of every great truth out of that Bible. The devil is determined to rob you of every authority and power in this gospel Christian life. And you've got to be more determined than he is. Are you? Are you just a plaything for the devil to play his games with? He goes about like a roaring lion, the Bible said, seeking whom he can devour. He's after your hide. He's after your mind. He's after your thoughts. He's after your spiritual understanding. He's after your walk with God. He's after you. I'm telling you, he's after you. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, notice this, and bringing into captivity, bringing into your captivity and God's captivity and God's victory, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to have war with this brain of yours. You hear me? Most problems start right up here. They come against you. The devil comes against your thinking. He comes against your understanding. He comes against your direction, your willpower to go on with God. And he'll do everything he can to bring a captivity to your understanding and to your mind. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience where when your obedience is fulfilled. When you get where you're obedient, when you get where you walk with God in victory, where you're triumphant over all the things, all the defilements of Satan, when you get why you can whip his wiles that come against you, then you can help others. Then you can be a blessing to others. I mean, preachers pray 10 minutes a day, 2 days a week, and expect to have power when they're in the pulpit. No, they don't have power. They may create an emotional stir. They may have noise, but that's not power. Power is when the devil is defeated, when people are delivered, when demons are driven out, when people are healed by the power of Christ, when the wicked are converted and come to repentance. That's power, and that's what this church world needs. Now, do you not understand those passages? They're wonderful. You take them in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you read them until you understand them. If you don't understand what I've said, get on your knees with God and tell God, I heard Reverend Chambers, but I don't understand what he said, so I want you to teach me. And you let the Holy Spirit teach you. You're going to have to stay there a while. You've got to mean business. You've got to be dedicated, but you can learn to break the powers of strongholds. Strongholds. Now, what are they? Strongholds are things that get in your mind, things that get in your spirit, and things that get in your soul. You know why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we are to be sanctified body, soul, and spirit, and preserved blameless, and preserved. Only sanctifying blood and the power of the Holy Spirit can preserve you in blamelessness. I've been saved 67 years. I've seen so many people fall by the wayside, it breaks my heart. I will get on the altar in yonder and pray for people as I can remember whom I saw Satan take over their life and defeat them and bring them to being nothing better than a piece of bread. You know, just reducing them to nothing. There's been so many I've known to backslide and die and go to hell. It breaks my heart to think of it. It breaks my heart to think of it. I'm telling you, friend, you can be delivered from strongholds. And they can get in your mind. They can get in your spirit. And then get in your soul. See, your mind is how you deal with yourself. Your spirit's how you relate to God. Your soul is how you deal with the world. Well, I got that backwards. It's the mind and the body you deal with the world. And the spirit you deal with God. And the soul you deal with yourself. your own individual life, keeping yourself under control. Are you disciplined? Can you overcome gluttony? Do you eat so much until it's destroying your health? You say, Brother Chambers, don't preach against that. Preach against tobacco. Well, smoking is no worse than eating like a glutton. I mean, these are things that destroy your spiritual life. These are things that bring you under captivity. These are things that reduce you to being everything but what God would have you to be. Now, I'm talking about breaking strongholds in your life. Now, in a moment, we're going to try to understand what they are. Let's go to Ephesians, and let's see this about the wiles of the devil. You don't understand how smart old Lucifer is. Lucifer is one of the smartest critters in the world of wickedness. In fact, he's at the top of the realm. He was a mighty angel, and he fell in rebellion, and he has that same mentality and that same capacity. And he knows everything about Christianity. The devil never comes against you unless it has some kind of religious edge to it. Because he is a religious critter who has fallen into total depravity. He is completely bound with wickedness. He can never be set free. And he's just fighting his way, trying to get up the upper hand against every one of us. Oh, he wants the upper hand against me and you and everybody. Let me read to you. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the devil is witty. He's a smart critter. He's had 6,000 years minimal to fight. He has all the wisdom and all the learning and experiences of 6,000 years. He knows what he's doing. And he knows how to get the best of you if you let down your spiritual walk. If you get careless and you don't pay any attention, say, why don't preachers preach on this? I'm bringing it to you because I know it's desperate to get you to understand the wiles of the devil and to get you wise and to not give the devil the upper. Listen, you got to get this. The devil can do nothing you don't let him do. The devil can do nothing that you don't let him do. Get that, write that down in your little vocabulary. Now, there is one exception. God can allow Satan to try you. He allowed Satan to try Job. Remember that? He's allowed Satan to try Peter. Remember that? Yes, God lets the devil try us sometimes. He wants to see what you're made out of. Most of you are made out of peanuts and popcorn. Most of you are made out of spiritual lightweight. I mean, God is calling us to get spiritual, to become men and women of God with strength and character and with some stability about us, to know the wiles of the devil. You got to know the devil's wiles. He can slip up behind you. He can come at some unexpected moment. He can whisper something in your little mind. I'm telling you, the devil is witty, and it says very clearly that you may be strong enough to overcome the wiles of the devil. And he goes on to name four different ways. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not a physical battle. I mean, I got a gun. I got several guns in my house. Sure, I got guns, but I can't fight the devil with a gun. That's ridiculous to even think it. The devil has to be defeated with spiritual weapons. Got to be the Word. Got to be the Holy Spirit. It's got to be the blood. You overcome Satan with the Word of God, with your dependency on the blood, and you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are on fire, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Bible. You trust in the blood. He can't touch you. Oh, he can make you miserable. He can come all around. He can do all kinds. He'll build up in somebody else an attitude of a reproach against you. And he'll avenge at you. But the Bible said that God will avenge you of your adversaries. I've really been studying that because I've had a barrel of adversaries all through the years. I mean, I've had so many. They hate me. They want me off the air. They want me dead. They'd sign my death warrant in a minute. But they can't do a thing if God don't let them. And so I have to trust in the Lord every day. And so I've been praying, God, avenge me of all of these adversaries. And while I'm doing that, I'm remitting their sins and I'm forgiving them so that there's no vengeance in me. so that when God gets through with his judgment of them, he can show them mercy and they can come back to forgiveness. They can come back to salvation. They can come back to brotherhood. They can come back to walk with God. And that's what I want. I mean, if you want your enemies to be destroyed, then you're seeking vengeance. And the Bible said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is not your business. You leave it alone. You stay out of it. You forgive them. You remit their sin. Give it up. Give it up. Let God forgive them. And then let God bring his wrath. And then at the end of his wrath, he brings his mercy. Isn't that beautiful? God is a balance, perfect balance between vengeance and mercy, between wrath and mercy. God never shows wrath without mercy until a person has crossed over the line. Oh, there's a place where you can become so defiled that even God will give you up. The Bible speaks of people whom God has given up. And boy, you're in a world of trouble when God gives you up. You're better off dead, I'm telling you right now, because you're going to go to hell anyway. You know, it's going to be hell till you get there. And that's the sad thing about it. Now, I'm trying to help you. There is wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That was three. I got them out of order. Remember that now. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Four different categories of wicked spirits you're dealing with. You think you got a chance by yourself? You think you got a chance in your own strength? You think you got a chance if you don't depend on God? No, you don't have a chance. You're in a heap of trouble, friend, if you don't depend utterly and totally on God. I'm calling you to get yourself to the place of total dependency on God and to bring you back to being spiritual. If you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, you're in trouble. If you've left your first love, you're in trouble. If you've gone back to sin, things that God cleansed you from and took from you, you're like a dog returned to his own vomit, Peter said. Like a dog returned to his own vomit, or a sow, a pig that went back to their muck in the mire. I'm telling you, if you've ever walked with God, he's calling on you, and the devil is witty. His wiles are incredible. You can't overcome them in yourself. Now, I got to move on, because I want to spend a little time on the different things that are really important. Now, seeking whom he may devour. You got to go to that in 1 Peter chapter 5, what verse is it? Let me find it here. Verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to see that now. You got to understand that the world is in a heap of trouble when it comes to Satan and his desire to destroy. He wants to cut you down. He wants to make a piece of bread out of you. He wants to make you a nobody. I mean, he'd rather put you down and destroy you. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Well, let's read verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Woo! Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you live for that? If you live for anything else, you're just not living a full life. Now, listen to this. Be sober. That means be alert. Don't get all intoxicated with your own goodness and your own righteousness and your own spiritual superiority. Don't get intoxicated with strong drink and anything. Don't get intoxicated mentally with nothing. Liquids are anything, or thoughts. Just don't get intoxicated. Be strong. Be disciplined. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the adversary of the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Great, eh? Why don't people realize this? The devil is after your destruction, and he wants it today. If he don't get you today, he'll be after you tomorrow. If he don't get you this week, he'll be after you next week. Why do you need to go to church every time the doors are open? Because you need everything you can get that God has for you. Your preacher, if he's a good man, gives you some wonderful Bible lessons on Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night, I taught a lesson that was breathtaking. It was just plain wonderful. It really was. God just poured it into me. It was about love. 1 Corinthians 13, about charity. You know what charity is? Charity is a love feast. It's not just love. It's worship that becomes an intoxication of love, an intoxication of the new wine. I go to Trader Joe to buy my food on Saturdays, and I like their milk. It's good, strong, whole milk that's not been so homogenized until it's nothing. Neutralized is the best word. Homogenized till it's neutralized. Well, they have better milk. It's stronger. Not quite as deeply. Just a better milk. And I like it. Well, they have a counter there usually with somebody offering people a drink of booze, drink of wine. And they have cheese. And so I'll usually go up and get me a thing of cheese and say, now, I don't drink your wine because I've got strong wine. I don't need your stuff. I got the strong wine. And I make sure I tell them that's the Holy Spirit that lives and abides inside of me. Good chance to witness. Oh, Reverend Chambers, do you do that everywhere you go, everywhere I can? I'm a witnesser. I'm a witness for the Lord. I got to tell it everywhere I go. So be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to open the lines. My ladies are here to answer the phone, two of them. They can answer all the calls you can send. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Now, I want some calls. We don't get many calls anymore. Get a lot of comments on Facebook, comments on Internet, but not much from any other source. So grab your phone and call me, 704-391-0588. I'm going to put it up for you so that you can see it okay for a minute, okay? All right, you got it. 704-391-0588. 704-391. Call me. I want some calls. I want to answer your questions. I love answering questions on Open Bible Dialogue. You realize I've been here doing this for 46 years. 46 years. Can you believe that? Over half of my life. Do you know why you used to call and you don't call now? Because you could get Juanita, my Juanita. And everybody wanted to call and talk to Juanita. Well, maybe God's going to give me another wife. And she'll be just as sweet as one. I won't have her if she's not sweet like Juanita. I promise you that. I promise you that. Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord's coming, and it's not going to be long. And you got a war to fight. You got a battle you're in. And you got to be available for God to give you the victory. Now, grab your phone. While you're grabbing the phone, I'm not going to waste our time. I'm going right on. I want to go to Luke 18 because I want to get you that are in great, great trials. Some of you are being accosted by neighbors. Some of you are being accosted by kids, your children. Some of you are being accosted by maybe a husband, a wife that you got separated from, and all of that's in a war. If you have done right, if you've kept your mouth quiet and clean, you've treated everybody gentle and godly, and you live in pure. See, you got to live pure when other people act ugly. Well, the Bible tells the story, Jesus does, and I've dealt with this lately a couple of times because it's so important. This widow went to this unjust judge. He would do nothing until she wearied him. I mean, she kept going. She kept going. She kept knocking on his door. She kept calling his secretary. She kept going every way she could to get through to him. He'd get emails and texts. You know, he didn't have it in that day, I understand. But I'm telling you, equivalent to that. She just kept after him. And finally, he met her and avenged her. I don't know what he did, but he got justice. If somebody owed him money, he made him pay. If somebody treated her wrong and lied on her, he made them admit the truth and tell people that he'd lied. I mean, everything that this woman had that had been leveled against her, this judge cleansed her from it, gave her victory over it, and made everybody involved in her problems back up and made them pay for their excuses and their ugliness and their treatment of this woman. I mean, this judge didn't play no games. The Bible said he avenged her of her adversaries. He got her justice. Now, I'm sure he offered mercy. All judges that are good judges offer mercy. But listen to what the Lord said. Yet because the widow troubled me, I would not answer. And listen, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not the Lord avenge your adversaries? His own elect, he calls them. These are his children. Sons and daughters, you've been born again. You're a man of God. You're pastor of church. You got a lying gossiper in your church, and they're after you to destroy you. Turn it over to God. Put it in God's hands. You forgive them. Make sure you don't get involved in the vengeance end of it. You turn it over to God. Keep your big mouth shut. Ain't easy. Ain't easy, but do it anyway. And make sure you repent. Make sure you have forgiven them. And shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him? I've been doing my best for weeks to name every adversarial person that I've had to deal with. Some of them were preachers. I could tell you a preacher that has hated me nearly 30 years. Do everything he can to bring me to a piece of dirt. I mean, just runs his mouth. Well, I turned him over to God. He don't have a chance. He don't have a chance. You say, Brother Chambers, you mean that? I know that. I don't doubt it a moment. God will avenge you of your adversaries. Yet because, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge did. Now listen to me. Shall not your Lord avenge you, his own elect? That means you're his son, his daughter. You've been elected. You've been called and chosen. You belong to him. You serve him. You treat people right. You will not do wrong. You will not treat people wrong. You will not be mean to them. You will not try to hurt other people. You have no vengeance in you. Then the Lord will avenge you of your adversary. Now, we're talking about strongholds. These adversarial conditions are terrible strongholds. They do great damage in the kingdom of God. Shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry to him day and night? Listen to what he said. I tell you, he will do it speedily. Oh, see, most of the church world allows people to do these ugly things, and they don't turn it over to God. And so since they get away with it, they do it to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And they just keep on doing it. You need to get with God and get this thing straight and wait on God to avenge you of that situation, of that adversarial attack, of that adversarial conduct, and let God get a hold of them. And then they will be brought to repentance, hopefully. Don't know that. Not in every case, but at least some cases, they'll be brought to repentance. That's how we pull down strongholds. We don't allow strongholds to continue. I am amazed at how many people, and I'm guilty, of letting strongholds go on for years and years and just say, turn it over in a simple way to God. No praying, no fasting, no seeking God. Get busy with it. And get on your face with God. And believe me, God will avenge you of your adversary. He'll help you pull down that stronghold. Oh, they're trying to. I mean, I got people who would destroy this church for nothing. They just can't stand it. I had a man wrote me a letter several years ago now. He wanted this to become a service station where somebody could get some help because it was such a disaster. And I thought, wow, this breaks your heart. This breaks your heart. And I just, left him alone. Well, I've turned him over to God to take care of the adversarial condition. And that's what you got to do. You've got to do that in the name of the Lord. I believe that's what God expects you to do. And I want you to do it. I want you to let's get justice. See, the church world is desperate for justice. The church world is desperate for justice. The church world, almost to a man, has very little justice today. People just do their own thing. Preachers do their own thing. They preach all kind of junk. I mean, the theology of today is in a terrible mess. Now, grab your phone. 704-391-0588. I hope you got it. If you didn't, I put it up for you. And I want your question. I want to help you with these things. I want to, if I help you, who knows how many other people I might help. Okay, the phones are open. The lines are available. Got four lines. So you can call and they'll put you on hold if I'm busy with somebody else. And we'll help you understand these things. Now, while you are calling, there's so much in this subject that's overwhelming. What are strongholds? Let's talk about moral strongholds. Do you understand how many people today are bound with moral strongholds? Do you know what the sexual revolution has done to young people, teenagers, men and women? Did you know there's probably more women today that are involved immorally or as many as there are men? It used to be mainly men. Now it's men and women. The whole sexual revolution is one of the worst disasters that's ever come to the human race. I'm telling you, sodomy is nothing but a stronghold. The only thing you can identify sodomy as is a spirit who has created a stronghold in this individual's life. And now they think that they can are to have this unnatural sex. I don't want to name it because I don't want you to cut the sound off. But you know what sodomy is, and it's nothing but a stronghold. It's from the pit of hell. It's a demon spirit that's took control of that person's life. Now, I'll deal with the three ways that demons deal with people in a little bit, and you need to write that down. It'll help you with your sermon, preacher man, to help people understand the three ways that the devil comes against you. Now, remember, moral strongholds, sodomy, transgender, these people who think they're boys, they're not girls, and they're really girls, that's nothing but a demon. You can't call it nothing but a demon. Find you one of them and talk to them. You won't take you but 10 minutes to know they're demon-possessed. You hear it, you see it, you feel it. Oh, I've been around them. I know what you feel when you're around a transgender person. That is a demon possession. Don't you believe that crazy lie, folks. Don't you let somebody tell you your girl is a boy, your boy is a girl. They're what God made them to be. And anything else is a stronghold from hell. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? A stronghold from hell. Adultery. There are so many adulterous people, women and men. My computer is always telling me a woman by the name of, in a name of, said they're only 2.5 miles from you and they're available right now. Well, I don't want them. You know, I don't respond to them. Why would that show up on my computer? It's horrible. It's horrible. But adultery is growing like a storm. It's a stronghold. It'll get a hold of a man. A man can have a precious wife. I think of a situation right now of a man with a precious wife and two wonderful children, and he has a good job, and he gets involved with a woman on the job, and they become adulterous, and then he gets on drugs, and now he is a wreck, a total wreck. And he has a master's degree in sociology. He was making $50,000 a year 30 years ago. 30 years ago in the world that he had got educated for. I mean, that's unthinkable. But adultery will make a piece of bread out of you. The Bible says an adulteress will hunt for the precious life. An adulterous woman wants to get a good man and pull him down to her level. Adulterous man wants to get a good woman, somebody's wife in many cases, and pull her down to his level. Adultery is absolutely demon spirits. And then fornication. Fornication, nothing but demon spirits. I read recently the story of President Kennedy, President John Kennedy. Such a good president in many ways, but he was so adulterous. He was so adulterous. Read the book that Bill Riley wrote on President Kennedy. It'll overwhelm you. Overwhelm you. And this is true of so many people. They are bound with adultery. They are bound with adultery, with fornication. And they live these lives in this, and it destroys them. It brings them to a piece of bread. I heard just this morning, had a call. A man who had a jet plane, and he had an island he went to, and he took little girls and took men, I guess little boys or women, I don't know. And they had these sexual, what do you call them, escapades? Is that the right word? Sexual escapades with all these little young people and girls and no doubt women. And they name people I can't say his last name here all of a sudden, Bill and Hillary. It's overwhelming. What is being said and done? And this man died with suicide in prison. I guess it just happened yesterday, today, I don't know. But I don't know the whole story. I just had a call to tell me about it from somebody very important to me. And, you know, you see all of this happening. It's demons, strongholds. These people are bound. All you got to do, sir, is start looking at some woman who's not your wife, who happens to be pretty and attractive. And maybe she's a little bit oversexed herself, and she flaunts herself at you. Before you know it, you're in bed with her. And your poor wife has been defiled. Your poor child. I am so grateful to God. I never defiled my dear wife by being a fornicator with some other woman. I am thankful to God. I never did. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, I've never kissed a woman in my life but my Juanita. Never. You say you're never going to. If I find a lovely widow woman that wants a good man, and good is questionable like with some people. But yeah, I would love to be married again. At my age now, Mama's been dead 2 years. I love her with all my heart, but I'm lonely beyond measure. I cannot tell you how lonely I am. But I'm faithful to God and faithful to the task and loving my sweetheart. And I'm going to be faithful. But I'm telling you, adultery, all the moral sins are just horrible. And you can name many. It's become now much worse than just sodomy. It's far deeper than sodomy, friend. It's far deeper. I'm not going to name it on radio because I don't want to lose some of you dear people that can't stand the language. And I can't stand it either. I'm here to tell you. So strongholds that are moral strongholds, they are many and they are devastating. And they'll take you to hell, friend, but you can be delivered. God can deliver you. If you're a sodomite and you want to be healed, God will deliver you. You come to Paul Creek, we'll help you repent. I'll cast that devil out of you. I will cast that devil out of you, but you got to repent. Let me tell you a story. Some years ago now, I got a call from a young man who was in college over at UNCC, and he was being scared to death by spirits that were coming to him. They would appear in the back seat of his car. They would appear behind him in the bathroom. He would see the face, turn around, they're gone. And it was scaring him to death. And he came to see me. And we went through all of this, and I talked with him. And I asked him, I said, let's find out where this started. Well, it started by watching things that were witchcraft, you know, playing with a Ouija board, doing seances, all kinds of junk that goes on in the witch world, the wizard world. And he was involved in all of that. And the spirit was after him. And the spirit was getting him. And he was about to lose his mind. And we're sitting in my study, and we go through it, and we've been an hour at least. And I look at him, and I say, young man, God is ready to set you free. I'm ready to pray and command that demon out of you, and that demon's got to go. When I tell him to go, he's got to go. But I will not tell him to go until you are repented and give your heart to Christ. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be saved. You got to surrender to the Lord, and then we will cast that devil out. Oh, he says, no, I'm not ready for that. No, 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 no. No, he didn't want to be saved. He didn't want to be washed in the blood. He didn't want to get himself right with God. And I looked at him and I said, young man, I'm not praying against some demon in you if you belong to the devil yourself. You no wonder you are having this. You need to be born again. You need the washing of the blood, brother. You need the washing of the blood, and then I will have the authority to cast that devil out of you. He left my office. I've never heard from him again. He said, no, I don't want to get religious. I don't want to be washed in the blood. No. He didn't want nothing I had when I told him that. He was gung-ho till I got to that point. But at that point, he wasn't ready. And I remember being down in Santo Domingo. We were dealing with a dark situation out there in the boondocks, brother. We were right out there. The electricity was out because of the great storm that just had. There were thousands of people in this gathered up place, like being in little cow stalls. It was terrible. And I'm out there preaching. We had one light bulb over our head that was coming from a generator. And we had one light, and they were singing, and it was just dark. You could feel demons. You could feel hell. It was as tight as my two fists. And they turned it over to me to preach. Well, I prepared a sermon, but I couldn't preach that sermon with that atmosphere. So I just turned loose to God, and the Holy Ghost took a hold of me. And I preached, and the anointed of God was on my soul. And I charged that devil out there. I said, listen to me, devil. I know what you're trying to do, but you've lost tonight. You're lost. You're lost. And I cried out, well, it come time for the invitation. And I gave my invitation. And here come two or three of those native men in Santo Domingo, and they were dragging a woman, dragging her, pulling her, and bringing her up front. Well, she'd been out back doing her witchcraft walk around the area that we were in, trying to cast a spell on us. And the spell was working to some great degree, but it couldn't overcome the Holy Ghost, see, because the Holy Ghost anointing came on me. And they brought her up. And I thought as they was bringing her up, man, they don't need to drag her up here. It kind of startled me, you know. I can't deal with her if she don't want to come up here. Well, the Holy Ghost spoke to me before I could say it. I just had it in my brain. Said she could not come up here on her own. She's bound. And so they brought her in front of me. And the first thing I do, she's standing there, and she's in terrible-looking condition. And I say, ma'am, I want you first thing to repeat the name of Jesus. Oh, brother. That was the right thing for me to say, which I didn't even know. And she fell down in the dust and dirt and began to weave and just all kinds of distortions of the devil. And I fell down on my knees, and one of my good native brethren, full of the Holy Ghost, fell down beside me. We laid hands on that wretched woman, and we cast that devil out, and he disappeared, and he was gone. And when I realized he was gone, I said, now, dear sweet, would you please stand up? And let's say the name of Jesus. She stood up and started saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And here come her husband. And he got saved. And she got saved. They were delivered. The last I heard from them, they were serving the Lord and living for Jesus. Now, it doesn't matter what them demons are doing to you. They are lies. They are witty, wildy, ugly, dark spirits, and they're out for your destruction. It may have started with a bottle of wine. You drink wine, you open yourself up to demons. You smoke cigarettes, you open yourself up to demons. You commit adultery, you open yourself up to demons. You get mad and ugly, you stay full of wrath and revenge, and you're full of jealousy and strife. It don't matter. Any kind of fleshly activity can open you to that world. And you may not become immediately possessed, but you may become immediately possessed. But in any of it, Jesus wants to set you free. Ooh, I felt it when I said that. Jesus wants to set you free. I don't care what your stronghold is. Jesus wants you free. The first thing you got to do is you got to ask him to forgive you of your sins and be washed in the blood. Don't even try. Don't even think that somebody can pray and cast that devil out until you're washed in the blood of Jesus. You got to be washed in the blood. And there are people who are so bound, they have to be set free to some degree. I won't describe that degree because I don't always know. But there's whatever degree that they can have consciousness so that they can hear the gospel and repent. You got to hear the gospel to be saved. You got to believe on the cross to be saved. You got to put your faith in Jesus to be saved. It's only the blood that can wash you and make you saved. Now, I hope I've reached somebody. I'll tell you right now. Let's go. Let's talk about religious strongholds. There are many kind of religious strongholds. I mean, just any kind of old false doctrine. Any kind of old false doctrine is a stronghold. It gets a hold of people and they can't breathe. Now, this is going to get some people angry. The doctrine of once saved, always saved is in many cases, not always, in many cases a stronghold that gets a person bound, and they can drink booze, they can fornicate, they can do anything they want to do. I'm saved, I'm still going to heaven. I'll never forget a preacher in this city told somebody one time, they come told me, and I'm not going to name the preacher so I don't have to prove it, but I believe the man was telling me the truth. This preacher said, if I was in the bed with a harlot and Jesus come, I'd go with him. Because I'm once saved, always saved. Well, I believe it's a stronghold. I really do. And you get all caught up in it and live like you please. Now, a lot of good people who believe it, but they live right and they live clean and they belong to God. And that's not what I'm talking about. I believe a lot of good people are saved who believe that particular idea of the Bible. They think it's of the Bible. I don't believe it. I believe it becomes a stronghold in a multiplicity of lives who are living in sin. Dark, dark sin. And they still think they're going to go to heaven. You aren't going to go to heaven living in sin. The Bible makes that plain, brother. He's coming after a holy crowd. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, excessive feelings of guilt can become a stronghold. There are people who've been forgiven, but they're so excessively guilty until they can't overcome it. There are people who have a fear that is utterly terrible. I'm not talking about reverence now. There's a spiritual fear. There's a holy fear that's called reverence. the reverence of God. But there's a fear that that's tormenting. The Bible said perfect love casteth out fear. You don't need that fear. Then there are people who just are so possessed to condemn others. There are people who hate preachers like me. They want preachers that are, you know, pussycats. They want preachers that say everything all you know, with mush in the mouth. They want somebody who's walking through the tulips. You know, that I'm not that kind. I'm that kind that is the old-fashioned preacher that looks you in the eyeball and says, if you live in sin, you're going to lose your soul. You live in sin, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I'm trying to help you. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to be lost. Self-righteousness. Oh, the church is full of self-righteousness. Wow, that's one of the biggest sins in the world is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, horrible sin. Now, the lines are still open. You know, sure would like to answer some questions. You know me, I can go right on because I'm preaching the truth. I'm giving it to you straight and heavy. I'm giving it to you right off the tip of my tongue. I'm giving it to you in a way that you need to hear it. There are so many strongholds. I wish I could name them all. Jealousy is a terrible stronghold. Envy, a terrible stronghold. Bondage of tobacco and drink, a terrible stronghold. I mean, there are so many strongholds. Anything that's not of the Bible, that's not Christ-like, can become a stronghold, and you can be set free. You don't have to live under that bondage. You can be set free. I'm going to claim a miracle now in lives out there all over my network, all over my listening, Facebook, Internet, radio, 4 different markets. I'm loving every one of you, and I'm weeping for your deliverance. You don't have to live any longer under those terrible strongholds. I'm telling you, the devil's going about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out to destroy you. You hearing me? He can do nothing but what you or God let him do. He's helpless. He's already been defeated. The cross gave him an ultimate defeat, friend. Ultimate defeat. And Jesus wants you free so you can live a godly, a pure, a holy life. Please share this with everybody you can. Facebook people, this needs to go to thousands. We've got people all over this globe who are so bound by demons and devils and dark spirits. The Antichrist has never been at the task so utterly as he is right now. He's out to destroy. People are so religious. People live so careless and so loose. The Bible says a woman wearing men's clothing is an abomination. The Bible talks about immoral dress. It's horrible. I said Wednesday night, no, it was last Sunday morning, I see women all the time trying to yank the dress up to get it where it's decent. Yank it down to get it where it's decent. Why don't you just wear something decent? You wouldn't have to do that. Your head's got more religion than your heart, see? That's why you keep yanking on it. I'm talking to you about living a clean life, a godly life, a pure life, a life that belongs to Christ. Anything but this is absolutely not the life which will save you in the end. You will be saved in the end if you get in this book and live by it. I'm talking to you out of my heart. Now, I want to answer some questions, and so I'm still waiting on this phone to ring. 704-391-0588. We got 10 minutes for you to call me. Right now, I want to pray. Every person out there bound, if you will repent of your sins, right now, I repent of my sins. Come on, say it with me. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ to wash me from every sin. I will forsake them. I am right now forsaking my sins. I'm turning my back on my sinful life. I'm turning my back on my adultery. I'm turning my back on my fornication. I'm turning my back on sodomy, on transgender. I'm turning my back on adultery. I'm turning my back on alcohol. I'm turning my back on everything the devil's got out there that he's bound me with. And I turn to Christ to be cleansed, to be washed, to be purified, to be set free. Now, I want to bind that spirit that's been on you and been possessing you. And I'm going to explain some things to you in a minute, so don't go away. Father, I claim a miracle in this person's life who repents right now and who has strongholds that they're dealing with. And I break that stronghold from the devil. I bind that old demon spirit that hangs around their head and their heart and their life. I bind that old demon spirit that uses a neighbor or a family member or somebody they work with. I bind them. I bind those strongholds and command them broken. And I claim a Holy Ghost victory in the life of this person, this man, this woman, this boy, this girl. I claim a Holy Ghost victory. I claim a marvelous spiritual victory in your life. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to set you free. Ooh, I'm telling you, I feel it. Somebody's being set free right now. There's a lady. You're being delivered of that audacious spirit. You've been playing around with men, and you've brought yourself to a gutter lifestyle, and Jesus right now wants to set you free. I'm praying for that man. You've been unfaithful to your wife. You need to right now be forgiven. I bind that spirit of adultery and command it out of him. I claim him going to his little wife and saying, honey, I'm sorry. I've been a fornicator, but I'll never do it again. I'm going to be a good husband. And start treating that wife like Jesus treated the church. That's what the Bible says. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. I claim a victory. That teenager on drugs. That teenager on all kinds of cocaine and whatever's out there. I bind that spirit of the enemy. Set them free, Father, as they repent of their sins and as they turn to Christ. I claim a miracle. Ooh, I claim a miracle. That teenage girl being set free. That teenage boy being set free, ready to serve Jesus and live a godly life, ready to walk with God and do the things that are pure and right and holy. I claim miracles, Father. I claim miracles all over my precious audience. On the Facebook, I claim miracles. On the internet, I claim miracles. On the radio, I claim miracles. All over Charlotte, all over the south, the eastern part of North Carolina and South Carolina. All over, up in Denver, in Maryland, covering Washington. I claim all a miracle up there. West Virginia, I claim a miracle up there. Oh, I claim miracles all over my audience. I'm pleading the blood. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. I claim the blood. Pray with me, somebody. I wish everybody was praying with me in Jesus' name. Now, I want to tell you something. There are three ways the devil attacks you. He starts with oppression. He oppresses you. There are people out there who are so oppressed. You can't have a peaceful moment because the enemy has oppressed you. The enemy has oppressed you. You're miserable. That's nothing but a spirit. Oppression is always a spirit. It has no right. It has no right. And then there's obsession. Obsession is when that oppression becomes the best of you, and you're so obsessed that you can't have a decent moment. You can't sleep at night. You're on all kinds of drugs. You're going to psychiatrists and doctors, and they're feeding you this stuff that you're going to get hooked on, and then you're going to be in worse shape than if you never had it. Are you listening to me? So there's obsession, and then there's possession. Now, a Christian can be oppressed. A Christian will not stay saved long who becomes obsessed, because that becomes a captivity. That takes over. But then possession is only for the ungodly, the backslider, the wicked, the ungodly, the godless. They can be so possessed that they are possessed of demons and devils. Are you hearing me? It starts with depression, obsession, possession. Don't let depression continue. Break that stronghold today. Repent of your sins, turn to Christ, and that depression will have to go. I command it to go right now. I command it to go right now. I claim a Holy Ghost miracle all over my audience. Great day. I don't know how many I got listed in millions. I trust surely in the hundreds of thousands. Share this with everybody you know. Send it to people if you have a copy. Share it on your Facebook. Reach over to your right and hit that share button. Boy, the devil's trying to stop me. Didn't you see that? Listen, share this. We got to help people get free. We got to help people get free. We got to understand Jesus is the victory. Jesus is the victory. He is our victory all the way to the core. I'm telling you, he will set you free. He will set you free. He will give you love and joy like you have never had. He'll give you peace like you have never had. In just a moment, I'm going to share some singing with you that I shared earlier. And I want you to shout. I want you to get happy. I want you to love the Lord. I want you to praise him. Now, listen. Listen to me. Don't go on in your depression. Don't go on in your obsession. Don't go on in your possession. You can be free if you're willing to turn to Christ. You're willing to. In fact, all of those cannot be broken but by the blood. They cannot be broken but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not flesh. Our warfare is not in the flesh. Our carnality cannot win this battle. Nothing of your flesh. Remember the scripture said that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember, 2 Corinthians 10 said very clearly, our battle is not in the carnal. It's not in the flesh. We wrestle not in the flesh. This is a spiritual war. It takes the power of the Word, the power of the blood, and the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the power of the Word, the power of the blood, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? And you can be free. Nobody out there can live without being free. Nobody out there, unless you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, or unless you've sinned away your day of grace, unless you've gone so far that God's left you and you're just you're completely a stronghold, completely taken over. And don't think that's true if you have any consciousness of turning around. Because when you get to that point, your conscience is seared. You have no conscience of wrong, right. If you got a conscience of wrong and right, you're probably ready to be delivered if you just let God do it. I can only do it if you claim the blood, if you surrender to Christ. I cannot do it unless you surrender to Christ. Do you understand that? I can do nothing for you until you surrender to Christ. Now, I want to tell you very clearly. I want to tell you very clearly, come to this church in the morning. I don't know yet when I'm going to preach, but it'll certainly be a message of Christ. I've thought about two different messages. One has to do with the blood in the book of Revelation. One has to do with the beautiful story of John the Baptist telling his disciples, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. That may be my message, come and dine. That would be beautiful. Preached that many years ago. I don't have that outline, so it'll be totally new. Totally new. And we'd love to have you. Paul Creek Ministry, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. We're looking for a pianist. I got one sitting out there. It's a lady. God's dealing with you. You know he's calling you. You know he's moved your heart. So why don't you pick up the phone here in a few minutes and a call and we'll talk about it, okay? I'm available. I'm waiting on God. I want only God. What God sends me. Don't want nothing else. What God sends me. I'm utterly dependent on the Lord. Utterly dependent on the Lord. He is faithful. You can trust him. I'm trying to find out what time I am here. Oh, I got one more minute. I love you. I really care. I want to preach to you in the morning. Man, do I have a desire to preach to you. We are looking for a sovereign move. It may start tomorrow. A divine visitation. A Shekinah glory. We know it's coming. We prayed and prayed and prayed and sought God, and we know it's coming. And I hope you can be here when it happens. Praise God. Isn't God good? I love you. I love you. Going to share this music with you now. I want you to be blessed. Make sure I get it right here. Good. Oh, here we come. I think Jesus is coming. I love you. I love you. Listen, Lord.
Life is easy.
Yes, it is.
When you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known, then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith, for never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the valley. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. and the God of the good.